have an entirely different kind of book choice show for you this week on Fine Music Radio, unlike any other show you would have heard here before. Something very special is happening right here in Cape Town from the 5th to the 7th of September. That's this coming weekend. The Open Book Festival is an absolute must-see highlight on the literary calendar every year in Cape Town. And you know, it's not just a book festival. This is a space and a stage for African and South African voices to talk about issues, politics, books, and the world at large. And if you miss it, I believe you will really be missing out. That's why we're dedicating our entire show this week to the Open Book Festival. We've invited the organizers to take over the show and share just some of the festival highlights with you. And I urge you to visit openbookfestival.co.za to see what they have on offer, to check out the lineup and snap up some tickets before they're all sold out. They have some tickets that are paid for and they're not very expensive. And then some of these events are also free. So check that all out. But let me not take up too much more of the time of this show. I want to, as fast as possible, hand over to Frankie Murray, who is not only an author with a new book out, but she's also the coordinator of the Open Book Festival. And she's joined by Mervyn Sloman, who in typical Mervyn style has the shortest bio you've ever read. It just says that Mervyn Sloman is the owner of the much-loved indie bookshop, The Book Lounge, as well as the director of Open Book. But folks, let me tell you that Mervyn is so much more than that. Mervyn is a visionary book lover, reader, and bookseller who not only started a bookshop here in Cape Town on Roland Street all those years ago with the Book Lounge, but he started a movement.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mervyn Sloman. I'm the owner of the Book Lounge and the festival director of Open Book Festival, which is what we're talking about today. And with me at this point, I have Frankie Murray.
I am Frankie Murray, and I am the festival coordinator for Open Book, and I also do a lot of the curation.
Speaking of, we have a festival starting in a few days' time.
Yeah, I mean, later this week.
Yes, indeed.
Things have been a bit frantic, but they're kind of under control, I think.
I'm glad to hear that.
You're with me on this ride, this wild ride of adventure.
Absolutely.
And it has been a bit of a ride this year. I mean, I'm just thinking, getting to Open Book is always quite a lot, but this year has been over and above. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that moment when we heard in July that all our government funding had been slashed to zero, shout out to Gayton McKenzie, was a very, very difficult moment. And we spent a weekend trying to work out how we were going to carry on with this festival and make it happen. And
well, I mean, there, I think I spent the weekend crying. I was unable to focus on anything, really. I kept on just having that appalling feeling of this festival is going to be the last one. And something that we have poured everything of ourselves into is just going to be ripped away. And it was, I remember saying to you at some point, it felt like the worst breakup I had ever been through. It was appalling.
But the good side is that we're forced to launch a crowdfunding campaign for this year's festival. We needed to raise 500,000 rand very, very quickly. And we had an amazing response from people. And yeah, we raised that money in just over 2 weeks, which was humbling, I think, for both of us. It doesn't solve the long-term questions, but it made everything that we were going to be doing over the next few days possible.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, when the money started coming in from the crowdfunding, which was not an easy decision to take, but I'm glad that we did. But when the money started coming in, I just remember, like, every time, no matter how much was being donated, I was just struck repeatedly by people's generosity, but also like reinforcing the fact that the festival is so important to so many people. We have to find ways to keep it going. And I think now we've got, because of people's generosity, we've got the luxury of time, just a little bit of time to figure out how we plan for next year.
Yeah. Absolutely. But let's now forget about next year. Let's talk about this year. We've got a festival coming up in a few days.
Yes.
One of the things that has always been a hallmark of the festival and something that is very important to both of us has been working with other people, entities, spirit of collaboration within the festival. And The festival is full of the products of those collaborations, and some of those are ones that we've been working with, people we've been working with for a long time, and some of them are new to this year. What are you, in that context, particularly looking forward
to? Sure. I mean, it's always the trickiest question to answer, where you're like, what are you highlighting above all else? And I mean, you know, like, everything is so close to us because of the work that goes into curating. So it is hard. But that being said, I mean, like, an old favorite, the Conversations with Mahala, is always not to be missed. And this year, I think, is going to be as special as it always is. It's going to be on fire. Pumla and Mahala up on stage, I would pay just to see them. And then to have other people up on stage as well, it's going to be magnificent, as always. I think in terms of, like, another person who we've worked with a lot is Sipakazi Jonas. So last year, we were privileged to launch Weeping Becomes a River. And this year, we're doing a one-year celebration, which is a far more staged production. And the little bits and pieces that I've heard of her recordings, sure, that is, I'm not missing that. I know that you'll be in another event at the time, but I will, I'm sorry to say, be firmly in the Star Theatre listening to Sipakazi making all of the hair on my arms stand up and tingle. It's going to be the best way to close my festival.
Yeah, I do look at the program sometimes and go, was I in the meeting when we decided that? I'll be doing the frivolous writer sports at the same
time. Which is also fun.
Yeah, but it pales. One collaboration I want to mention is a new one, and that is working with Lesedi Molefi. Lesedi was at Open Book last year, as you remember, launching his quite phenomenal memoir, Patient 12A, which was written in a diary form of his time in Akiso, where he was in there for depression. But the book goes back into his life and how he ended up there. And Lesedi made such an impact on so many of us last year that we decided we just had to have him back, and we've had lots of conversations about the kinds of conversations that are really important. And Lesedi's going to be running something at 4 o'clock on Saturday called Make Noise and Hold All Applause with Lesedi Molefi, talking about the link between mental health and capitalism with three amazing writers on stage. And I think this is going to be like Conversations with Mahala. I think this is going to be the first installment of something that becomes an annual feature of the festival. I think it's going to be a very, very special event.
I agree with you completely. Lesedi brings something magical and very authentic. So I'm excited to see how this goes. You know, we've got some people, some actual participants who are joining us for these conversations today. Mm. But I think, you know, just briefly, I'd like to also touch on Up Close with Maneo. So Maneo Mahala, who needs no introduction, they are going to be in conversation with the icon who is Tsitsi Dangaremga. So if you're wondering what to do with your time on Sunday the 7th at 12 o'clock, think no further. Get your ticket. Be there.
Just quickly to mention, the whole program is on our website at openbookfestival.co.za. Tickets are available through web tickets. You can either go directly to web tickets or you can link through our festival page.
So in this first segment, Frankie and Mervin will be chatting to Bongani Kona about the festival and the events that Bongani will be chairing. Bongani Kona himself also has an impressive bio. He's a writer, an editor, and a lecturer in the Department of Historical Studies at the University of the Western Cape. His work has appeared in too many places to list here. And I can tell you, though, from personal experience, I have seen and been on many panels with Bongani, and I've had the joy and pleasure of working with him as an editor. And I have to tell you, he is a uniquely talented human being and definitely worth hearing and seeing live. And I think, as you'll hear in this upcoming segment, he's got a great sense of humor too. So welcome to the show, Frankie, Mervin, and Bongani, for the special edition Book Choice Open Book Festival edition.
Bongani Kona, lovely to have you with us here today to talk a little bit about the upcoming festival. You are participating in two events, one of which you have the responsibility of chairing the discussion. It's called Tensions of Home. But before we talk about that, Bongani, you've been at a lot of open book festivals over the years, usually up on stage representing the festival team by chairing conversations and participating in them. Maybe, yeah, we could start by just talking a little bit about the festival from your perspective, your sense of it.
Firstly, hello, Mervin, and thanks for this opportunity. And hello, Frankie, too.
Hello.
Yeah, I think one of the things I love about the festival is that it happens in the city. From my earliest memories of the festival, even back in the day when the Homecoming Center was the at the Fugard Theatre, just that space that it was in the city. One of the things that means, at least for me, is that the mixture of people that come to the festival is a really good mix of young people. You've got old people, you've got, elderly people. Just a wonderful mix of people. And I think we take it for granted that we don't often end up in rooms where the mixture of people is so diverse. And the thing that brings you together is not necessarily whether it's your race, class, or gender. It's just that you're all there because you love books. Often the things that brings us together, also the things that separate us from other people, but just to be a book lover, like, that's one of the things that's, it's like, it's an amazing thing to be a reader and to be surrounded by other readers, you know? It's a very long answer.
No,
it's the right kind of answer.
Yeah. Sort of diversity of audience, particularly in relation to age or generation or what have you, is something that is incredibly important to us. It's lovely to hear you kind of reflect on that. That is something that we work very hard at.
I have a quick question. Mm. So usually around June, July at some point, I'll be in your inbox saying, hey, Bongani, will you chair this event? Do you ever think I'm going to block this email address? I'm going to block this number. Like, I can't chair another event.
No, not really. Because I actually think, like, it might sound, nobody's going to make a living from chairing events.
You're so right. I'm glad that wasn't your fallback plan.
But I think just I've seen people's faces at events. I've seen what can happen with conversation between not only just to the audience people, but to the writers themselves in conversation with each other. Like, I think a conversation is like, it's a magical thing. And nobody knows what it's going to turn out to be. Nobody knows what it's going to be like. You have to have read the books firstly. Mm. But then what can happen after that? Like, I think it can be like a transformative experience for everyone involved. So, and I love that opportunity.
I think that's why, well, one of the reasons why we come to you over and over again, because holding that position, that chair position, is not something that everyone is able to do. Mm-hmm. And you seem to get it right over and over again. Do you have a special secret? Is it a thing that people can eat? Or, like, do you do workshops? Like, just interested, asking for a friend.
It helps to have read the books.
Step one.
I think step one is it helps to have read the books.
Okay. I'll write that down. I'm going to take notes. Read
just
the book.
A brief note to the audience here. Everybody who chairs events at Open Book Festival has actually read the books. Bongani is not an outlier in this case.
But I have often dreamed of saying, you know, I haven't read the book, but as the first question.
That is a question that seems to come up after the conversations during the Q&A quite a lot. I haven't read the book, but.
No, but I think very often the books themselves are somebody that loves reading. And so for this coming edition of Open Book, I'm still prepping, so I'm reading through Anki Crock's book, like from the very, Anki Crock was one of like our most beloved writers. Mm. And just even from like 10 pages in, I'm having such an experience with the book. And so even just to ask somebody, how did you do this?
Mm.
And there are people who are interested in writing in the audience. You're just facilitating a process. Mm. So I haven't answered your question, but
I think that you have.
But, carry on. So the event that we've been teasing about here is called Tensions of Home. And as you mentioned, Anki Crock is one of the writers in that, talking about her book Blood's Inner Rhyme, which is kind of being presented as autobiographical fiction. It's definitely, there's a lot of gray area there between fiction and memoir. And a lot of it has got to do with a very fraught relationship with her mother, who was a very well-known Afrikaans writer, Dot Serpentine. And then you've also got the amazing poet Sarah Ojeda on the panel talking about her collection, Not This Tender. And then one of my sort of favorite writers, somebody called Frankie Murray, who may or may not also be sitting around this table. Frankie. And Frankie has just, as you know, released second, I'm still calling it a book, called A Collection of Gaps, which comes in a box. But our focus for this conversation is not about the very pretty product that it is, but actually about the content. And I was wondering what your thoughts at this stage were in terms of the conversation and whether there's particular things that you're looking forward to about it, apart from making Frankie uncomfortable on stage.
Well, I'm already feeling uncomfortable in preparation.
I guess the question for one is like the meaning of home is something we're consistently grappling with, have been grappling with for years. And like I said, I'm just still prepping for the conversation. And in Anki Crock's, I think, let's call it, it's an autobiographical novel.
That's what the publishers are calling it. You can call it whatever you like.
Actually, it's okay. Can I just read something that I've actually just underlined from, sure, which I can just tell? This is very close to the beginning of the book, and the title of the conversation is sort of tensions, home. It's about meanings of home. And Anki Crock writes, and she's with her mother, "How do we make sense of our lives here? What are we? Two devoted, costly ones in this African country listening to..." Anyway, sorry, I can't pronounce the German opera that they're listening to. "Two freaks, two pathetic elitists." Yes, all of that. "Two misfits hearing the dogs howling outside the only house they know, the one built by the masters of injustice." I'm filled, and then she, later on in the same passage, she writes, "I'm filled with a mixture of grief and tenderness, a feeling of loss and dishonor." I love how sort of Anki Crock, I don't know, just like this courage that she has, like she gets to the heart of things. I think from the very beginning, even when she was much younger, she's never shied away from those very difficult kinds of conversations. I know, like I said, I'm still prepping for the book. I may not read the collection of short stories by Frankie. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding.
You could probably read it in the 45 minutes before the event. It's very short. You'll manage.
But I think maybe the question I have is for you. I think maybe you too. Because somehow, like, the way that you structure the festivals, the way that you even title the panels, everything seems to be so topical. Whatever year it is, it always seems to be part of the conversation that we're having, either individually, collectively, even psychically. But so how do you go about, like, I guess, take us backstage? Like, this is such a huge program.
Yeah, it is a huge program this year. We're actually a little bit concerned about that. But I know that there are going to be bums on seats. I think the short answer is that we live in this world. If you're living in the world and paying attention, you've got no choice but to let that flow through everything that you do. I think that's the short answer. But I'm not sure that we can really add to it. I'm kind of aware that we do need to wrap up, and I do want to just mention the other event that you're part of. It is Unsettled Accounts, The Interpreters. It's going to be you, Alexandra Dodd, and Anki Crock. Anki, again, there seems to be a thing that we've put you together.
That is talking about amazing collection of narrative nonfiction, memoir, all sorts of different kinds of nonfiction, which was edited by Hedley Twaddle and Sean Christie, which came out a few months ago, and has done exceptionally well. And Bongani, you have a piece in there. And I think that event is going to be a fascinating look at some of the themes around nonfiction writing in South Africa over the last, well, in the post-democratic periods. I'm really looking forward to that.
It's an incredible book, also, The Interpreters. And maybe as a way to end, this is just to say, maybe my hope for the festival is that myself and Anki will run away together.
As long as it's after your second event together, we're fine with that.
Okay.
Thank you so much, and good luck.
Love Changes Everything by Rocco Davilliers. I told you Bongani was funny. I'm never going to get a picture of him and Anki Crock riding off into the sunset, reciting poetry. And that vision has made me happier than anything else has made me this week. Welcome back to Book Choice on Fine Music Radio, which is proudly sponsored by Exclusive Books. And you're tuned into a very special edition of this show. Open Book Festival is a literary festival that takes place right here in Cape Town on your doorstep every year. And so we're dedicating the entire show this week to the festival, which is taking place this weekend. It's happening. It's upon us. We're so excited. Festival director Mervyn Sloman, as I mentioned, and festival coordinator Frankie Murray are in the studio with us. And next up, they're chatting to Mbali Sikakana, who is not only the senior books editor at NB Publishers, but she's also chairing panels at the festival, one of which is entitled Speaking Into Silences. It's about writing feminist histories and filling in the gaps in the official archives. Mbali believes that provocation is good for society, and she occasionally shares her mildly ironic or irreverent thoughts. This philosophy guides her commissioning as a books editor and stewardship of books, and it's likely to guide her panels too, something we're all very much looking forward to. Welcome back, Mervyn and Frankie, and hello to Mbali Sikakana.
Our next guest with us today is Mbali Sikakana, commissioning editor at Tafelberg Publishers. We've already been talking a fair amount about collaborations and partnerships and that kind of thing, and Mbali has become somebody who is integral to what we do at the festival over the last few years. It's a privilege for us every year to go to her and go, "Hey Mbali, are you happy to do this? Could you possibly do that?" And also to hear her ideas about things that, she'd like to do. Mbali's going to be, once again, chairing an event structured around the, or framed around the feminist imaginary, and this year talking about speaking into silences. But before that, Mbali, maybe you could just talk a little bit about, you know, your sense of Open Book, your relationship with the festival.
Well, I started coming to Open Book years and years and years ago, before I was ever involved in any real capacity. One of my favorite things is to see international black authors on the bill that you usually wouldn't have access to. I mean, I remember when Teju Cole was at Open Book, for instance. There were so many years just like that. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't imagine where else I was going to see these people. And so it became a pilgrimage. And it's still the same. There's just a space where, from a Pan-African perspective, from a black transnational perspective, from just a same politic perspective of many different types of people, it's a space where you can have the right conversations without it feeling like somebody's looking over your shoulder and something might happen to you.
Mm. I mean, like, there have been a few people who've said something along the lines of, I can breathe here.
Yeah.
I feel like I've come home. It's never like a prompted, like, you know, please say something nice to me because I'm like in the room and I need affirmations on the daily. It's like this unscripted, very authentic, deep love of the space.
I think it's because there's no real reason to do this. There's nothing else in South Africa that says to you, you don't have to accept an anti-intellectual environment. You don't have to accept an environment of apathy. You don't have to accept an environment of division and sort of not caring about, you know, the next person. Mm. You can have the conversations together and you can have them, the difficult ones together in a space that will allow for that. And I think that's what that is. It's just a lot of degradation of the art spaces that we used to enjoy all around this festival. I mean, we've been speaking about funding. Yeah. Mm. That speaks to this as well. Like, everything else is just disintegrating and falling apart. And then there's these little enclaves that we can still retreat to.
Yeah, I think that they're becoming ever more crucial. I mean, I'm finding the world quite hard. And I feel like without spaces like Open Book, I don't know how we actually understand where we are. Like, I need for the conversations to happen.
And you wouldn't be able to prove that they're even possible without spaces like this.
Yeah.
There was so much more of this, and now there isn't. And you can't explain to people that it didn't used to be this bad. And for this to go, we'll be trying to explain that this existed. Because it's hard to explain that there's more to life than what people currently see and are exposed to.
I think you're also touching on something which is really important about the festival for us, and that is the openness and generosity with which people engage with the festival and really, you know, bring all of themselves and really be in those conversations, whether they're on stage or in the audience or in the, you know, over a glass of wine at the bar. That is where the magic happens, when people feel they are fully present. I know for me that that is a very, very rare space. And it is the way other people engage with that space which enables me to be present like that. But let's talk a little bit about the event that you're going to be running for us. As I said, it's called The Feminist Imaginary, subtitled this year Speaking Into Silences, talking about writing feminist histories. And you're going to have on stage with you wonderful Nigerian writer, Folosu Agbaje, our regular sidekick for you, Pumla Dineo-Mola, a new face, Goretti Koyamendo, and another familiar face in Atambile Masola. So, I mean, I'm very excited about that. I think it's going to be a wonderful conversation. Maybe tell us a little bit about your thoughts about it.
Well, what I find most interesting is that, you know, Atambile and I have worked on a project together around unsilencing a woman's history around Noni Jabavu. Just a few years ago, we did a book together of a collection of her writings. And that was her complete impetus behind that project. She said, we can't forget people like Noni Jabavu existed. Today, people feel so cosmopolitan and, you know, they're just flitting around the world feeling like, you know, they're doing it all and they're forgetting that these women existed already and they're just standing on their shoulders. And we're kind of just, we're not moving. Yeah, we need to understand where we've been so that we can do newer and better and more outrageous things than before. So when I think about this discussion, that's what I think about most. Remembering these women is about setting a proper baseline standard than the one that we have at the moment that seems to be bottoming out more and more each day. Because so much less is possible for people to achieve.
I think also, like, you know, I read a lot. I have always read a lot. I think everyone in this room has. But when I came across the Noni Jabavu, she was a person I knew nothing about. I was flummoxed, you know, like that there can be such a vital presence in our history that was just not on my radar at all. So this kind of work is work that I think is crucial, but I also find very exciting.
There was also something very surprising, I think, about that book, not just in terms of the, I mean, the importance of shining a light on this incredible woman and her work, but the content of her work was absolutely fascinating. And, I mean, yes, on the one hand, you and Atambile are absolutely right in terms of, obviously, in terms of that framing around, you know, on the shoulders of, but at the same time, there's this big dissonance in a way also between the way in which she was forced to express herself and what is possible now.
Yes. Anyway.
Folosu's novel is also, I mean, I thought it was absolutely phenomenal, and she writes, I think it might have been in the preface or I saw this somewhere else, that part of the impulse to write that was, it was again about sort of unwritten stories, and she was looking kind of within her own family and her grandmother and the experience of Nigeria in during the Second World War. And I haven't read anything like that before, and I found it absolutely fascinating.
I enjoy all Nigerian historical fiction. I mean, Half of the Yellow Sun, Biafran War is still one of my favorite books, so this to me was along that sort of vein. I just feel like most of Africa's historical fiction, there's a dearth of it, especially fiction that fixates on the women's experience. So her book is extremely important in my view.
I just want to be running out of time, but I just want to mention very briefly as well that we're also going to be on stage together for something called Director's Choice, which is an event that I put together every year. And we're going to be talking, joining us on stage is going to be Lesedi Molefi, of course, wrote Patient 12A, and Mohale Mashego. And we're going to be talking about the ways, the pressures, the all the stuff, what it means to be a black writer, a black person in the industry, relationship with writers in this industry at the moment, a lot of the performative requirements, expectations is a better word than requirements. And I think, on one hand, I think there is some tiredness in the sense of people feeling we've been having this conversation for a long time. But I also think it's a conversation that we absolutely have to have, and we have to find ways to move through this.
It's got to happen periodically, because it also seems to, it mutates. You know, it doesn't stay the same. You're not always dealing with the same types of microaggressions or the same types of interventions in terms of what you're trying to do. It all mutates according to whatever's happening at the time. So we need to keep the conversation going so we know what we're up against and what we can do.
Absolutely. And thank you for agreeing to participate in that, that as well. We are out of time. Mbali, thank you so much for everything that you bring to the festival and for your time today.
Of course.
We will see you in a few days.
Let's go.
Tell me quando, quando, quando. We can share a love divine. And please don't make me wait again. When will you say yes to me? Tell me quando, quando, quando. You mean happiness to me. Oh, my love, please tell me when. Every moment's a day. Every day seems a lifetime. Let me show you the way to a joy beyond compare. Tell me quando, quando, quando. Say it's me that you adore. And then darling, tell me when.
That was Quando, Quando, Quando by Nossa Vida. And welcome back. You're tuned into our very special Open Book Festival edition of Book Choice right here on Fine Music Radio. And this is a show that every week is sponsored by Exclusive Books. And I must tell you that if you miss any part of this show or there was something that you want to listen to again or send to a friend, Mzu will kindly load it as a podcast on fmr.co.za after the show is flighted. So you can go onto the website, you can go back and catch up on the show at your leisure. So we're back now with Frankie and Mervin, and they're joined now by Zizipo Bam, who will be chatting to them about some of the slam poetry events taking place at the Open Book Festival this weekend. They have such a great poetry lineup. I think you're going to enjoy this. So be sure to visit the site, grab your tickets as soon as you can. They are selling out fast. I warn you, if any of these even vaguely interest you, grab your tickets. They're not expensive at all. So as an introduction, Zizipo Bam, who I mentioned, is a very much an award-winning poet. She's celebrated for her exploration of love, longing, loss, and healing, inspired by the body and its experiences. She weaves personal stories into captivating works of art. Her acclaimed debut collection is called Sunflowers for My Lovers, and it showcases her unique talent for reimagining narratives. She's a passionate advocate for community and artistic collaboration, curating poetry events all over Cape Town, including Slam City, which is a slam competition fostering camaraderie and healthy competition among poets in the city. She's going to talk a lot more about that. So is Frankie. And welcome to the show, Frankie Murray, Mervin Sloman, and Zizipo Bam.
Zizipo, it is always such a pleasure to be talking to you. You are seriously one of my favorite members of the Open Book family. You bring something that is extraordinary, and you manage to do it with such style. I've never seen you losing your head and being like, why am I working with poets? Which I think everyone else does. You're the poet wrangler, and you do it with such
somewhat
grace and calm and stuff like that. I want to get to that, but first, like, the festival is like any day. How are you feeling?
Excited. I think all the poets are also just like waiting for the big moment. It's a big stage that they're going to be on, and rehearsals have been in process, and yeah, everyone's looking forward to it. I think it's been a beautiful time leading up to the festival, so yeah, it's going to be an amazing one.
How long have you and I actually worked together now?
Okay, if we count outside of the stuff we've curated, I think like my first time on the Open Book Festival stage was probably like in 2021 or something. I think we were doing something with Hear My Voice. And then yes, from then on, I kind of got interested in curating, you know, some of these spaces and stages for poets. Mm. And then we did the workshop. Was it workshop week? No, it was the Youth Festival.
Yeah. Wow, yes. That was a beautiful event.
Yeah, a bunch of chorus, yeah, open mic, poetry. It was
some of those young voices magical who had never performed in yeah front of people before.
Yeah. I recently looked at those videos, actually, and I was like, what an amazing space that was.
Truly, and it was full.
Yeah.
But like every single person there was there for the poetry. Yeah. They were supportive. It was so special.
Yeah. Full in all senses of the word, right?
Yeah, like, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, okay, going back to 2021, that's quite a few years. I'm always interested in what the, like, I know what the festival means to me, but what does it mean to you, and what do you hope it'll mean to the poets who are involved in the Slam City Showcase?
Sure. I think just in the true sense of, you know, open book, is that the festival itself has been that, you know, it's been a door that has been open to young poets, emerging, established poets, seasoned poets. It's a space where you can engage with your faves in one space, and you, like, you know, you see your icons, and then suddenly you're in a panel together, and you're like, whoa, you know.
I think it's one of the things that I really enjoy, like being able to put a poet in on a panel discussion with like a novelist, to really mix things up, because as hard, I'm going to say hard, as poets can be to work with, the way they, like, just jump out of the box that you think, okay, here's where we're going to be, and then the poet is like, no, but we're also over here.
Yeah.
We're also going to just be singing for a little while now. Yeah. it amazes me.
It's the range.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's,
completely.
It's range. And poets will surprise you. I think, like, even just with, like, the Slam City poets, like, they've surprised us in so many ways that you're like, oh, you can do that too? Oh, you can do that? Oh, you can go there. It's not only about the competitiveness of the, you know, slam poetry, but it also goes into, you know, the context and the richness of the topics that they tackle. So
can you maybe, just for the listeners who don't know Slam City, can you go into a little bit about Slam City itself, the work that you do, and then get quite specific about what people can look forward to on Saturday night? What time is it?
It's at 8 o'clock.
8 p.m. on Saturday on the 6th of September. Slam City is Cape Town's premier poetry slam competition. We are actually just less than 2 years old.
That's amazing. You've done so much in 2 years.
Every time we look back,
you work too hard.
We're like, whoa, look at the stuff we've done, you know. And we run poetry slams every last Saturday of the month. And we've been doing so since 2024.
And where do you usually have them?
So we are at Theatre Arts in OBS. So that's where
such
we
a nice
run.
Venue.
Yeah, beautiful space. And the poets have really embraced, like, the energy in the space as well. You know, as much as it is a competition, there's so much community that has come of that, you know, because you realize that because it's a competition and you want to beat the first place person, you are actually also leveling up and kind of, like, working towards being better than the best person on stage, making everyone better, actually. So I think it's really just been an amazing space to teach poets discipline, to teach poets, you know, rehearsals, because, you know, they recite the stuff from head, and you can see the ones who have been rehearsing and the ones who haven't been rehearsing.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, at Slam City, we are really kind of, like, working towards creating a holistic experience when it comes to poetry. So we do poetry workshops in the morning before the slam begins. And our workshops will range from writing to performance to branding to
the business of poetry. That's so important.
Absolutely, right? And it's really been so instrumental. You can tell that, you know, the poets are using this information that they're kind of taking in, and you can see their careers change and develop, and, you know.
It's such a game changer when, as a, say, festival organizer, I'm asking people for their bios and their headshots for the website. To easily get that information can be something that takes weeks and weeks and weeks. It's so frustrating. Yeah. And this year, with the poets who are part of Slam City, it came in, all of it, at the same time. Yeah. And I was like, everything's here.
Absolutely.
That's because of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I mean, it's me and the amazing team that I work with as well, you know. It's been amazing to see how, you know, from the slams that we have a top five that comes up every month. And that top five becomes more consistent, and you can see the same faces, you hear the same voices in that top five. And so for us, it's more about creating a funnel, right? You can't just keep winning slams and then what, you know? And so the Open Book Festival stage becomes, you know, the next step to say that, okay, so you've been winning these slams, but here's a bigger stage for you to showcase your work.
And new audience members.
Absolutely, yeah.
So maybe that's a good point to just go into more detail in terms of what people can expect on Saturday.
Yeah, so we have a Slam City showcase. It's called From Slam to Fam, because that's really what we've become, you know, like the competition has become family. And it's become a wonderful community, and we want to kind of showcase the city's best poets who are living and writing and igniting the mic. And so this Saturday at 8 p.m., we can expect poets like Ria Meti. We can expect Thosi, who's a musician. We can expect Mfundi the poet. We have Mishik Ope. We have Inzima, Khali Khali, Mtunzi Gazi, Ria, which I've mentioned, Vusmuzi, Rio, as well as Ntsako Lane, and of course my co-curator Tabelo Taraha, who will also be hosting this amazing showcase with me. So it's going to be an amazing show. I can't wait for people to see it.
I'm really, really excited. Yeah. Just remind me, are all of the poets performing in English, or is it a range
no, it's
of
a range.
That's very exciting to
range.
Me.
See, yeah.
I mean, like, so much focus is on English, and I think it's vital that we get other languages up on stage.
Yeah, no, we really encourage poets to write in different languages. I don't want to say indigenous. You know, these are our home languages. And we encourage them to write in those different languages because it allows for different audiences, but it also just creates so much layer and depth within the slam itself and the showcase. So we have Isixhosa poets, we have Ndebele, you know, we have Zulu. It's just going to be so rich.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're almost at the end of the little segment with you. Do you have any last words that you want to like reinforce something with listeners?
Come to the showcase, okay? Come to the showcase and see how the Slam City poets do and how we go from slam to femme.
Thank you very much.
On a Clear Day by Track 5. Welcome back. You're tuned into our very special, much-awaited Open Book Festival edition of Book Choice here on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick. I am your regular host, but I'm stepping aside today to let the Open Book Festival organizers bring you the show. And our show, as always, is sponsored by Exclusive Books. So if you've just joined us, we've been chatting to Festival Director and Coordinator Mervyn Sloman and Frankie Murray, and this Open Book Festival is taking place in our beautiful mother city this coming weekend. You've just got a few days to get your schedule organized. And that's why we're giving you a taste of the festival so you can dart out, jump onto the website, openbookfestival.co.za, and grab your tickets before they're all sold out. We're heading now into our final segment of the show. Frankie and Mervyn will be chatting to Firdaus Munder. Firdaus is a journalist, academic, and a yoga teacher who has been covering sports since 2007. She works primarily as ESPN's Southern African and Women's Correspondent, and she's also the Women's Editor at Large for On the Whistle, which is an African football podcast. She's completing doctoral research into yoga, politics, and possibilities for social justice. Firdaus's main interests lie in the intersectionality of sport and society, and interrogating what ideas of embodiment can reflect about the world we live in, and Firdaus is chairing a very interesting panel, which Frankie and Mervyn are going to chat to her about. Welcome to the show, Firdaus, and welcome back, Frankie and Mervyn.
Hello, Firdaus Munder. So lovely to have you here. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much for having me, as always.
It's a pleasure. Okay, you're chairing a very, very hard session, I think. It's not going to be an easy conversation, and we'll talk a little bit about that soon. But before then, I'd love to just get your thoughts on what Open Book means to you. It's a big thing for us. It takes the year to produce it. I'd love to get your thoughts.
I guess I first came to Open Book as a reader and as somebody interested in literature, as somebody interested in the conversations that texts can have with each other. Mm. And that was maybe when I first moved to Cape Town, so more than 10 years ago.
Sure.
And yeah, a long time. Joburg girl.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, I love the curation and I love the ideas around putting topics together. Maybe things you wouldn't put in conversation with each other suddenly arrive together.
Mm.
And then 3 years ago, Mervyn asked me to chair my first session, which was included Desiree Ellis, who was
that was when I first met you, I think.
Yeah.
And Mervyn had been like, I know exactly who's going to chair this event. It's going to be Fardos, and she's going to be perfect. And you were.
Thank you. I love that event. We had so many people in there. Uh-huh. Of course, Banyana Banyana were WAFCON champions, which they're not anymore, unfortunately. But it was such a wonderful coming together of ideas. And, and we had kind of the celeb in Desiree Ellis. We had Patrick Tariq Mellett there who brought like a real gravitas to the event.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think being part of a conversation like that just sparked like an incredible interest in me in how can we put different texts together. Then last year I had Patient 12A, which I know will be on again.
Yeah.
And in the time since my first talk, I've become more interested in literature of the body and scholarship of the body. So, yeah, I'm really excited for this year's festival because you have a lot of that.
Yeah, we do. And I think it's not just that we have chosen to have a lot of that. I think that there's a lot of that being written.
That's good.
I do think that more and more people are kind of paying attention to how things kind of manifest in their own physical bodies. It's not just in your head anymore. Maybe we should chat a little bit about the event that you're chairing. It's The Body Keeps the Score, which is happening on Friday. I mean, I can't believe it's like it's Friday.
Mm.
So, yeah, 4 to 5, The Body Keeps the Score, Pepina Commander, Malika Ndlovu, Jeffrey Rakabe, and you're speaking to them. I mean, just thinking about these books, each of these books is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, and it's maybe a lot for a Friday afternoon, but necessary, I think.
It is necessary, and I think that, like, you know, what we have found is even with quite hard conversations that are necessary conversations, there are moments of energy and such joy and celebration and support.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned maybe a proliferation of literature around the body, and I think what we're finding also is a proliferation of literature around the body that is the non-normative, you know. So we're seeing stuff, bodies of color, queer bodies, different, so to speak, bodies really representing themselves, because there's a feeling you can also then draw in from indigenous culture, draw in from ancestral culture. So Malika Ndlovu's Grief Seed does that with like such beauty, such pathos, and it's a really interesting, difficult, captivating read. I can't wait to sort of share some of the poetry.
Malika is a magical creature.
She is.
I mean, you put her up on stage and just her presence somehow changes the air. I don't know how she does it, but I am so delighted that we're able to welcome her back, because she used to be in Cape Town and now she's in, well, close to Durban, I think, like Margate area. But yes, sorry, I interrupted you because of my enthusiasm for Malika.
No, I think she lectured me when I was doing a few courses at UCT. And there's a performance element to it where you get so wrapped up in the sound, the words, and then this like magical recipe where they come together.
Mm.
And I really find her enchanting, and I'm very excited to see what she has to offer. And then, you know, sort of sandwiched between these two quite difficult books to digest, the smallest ones, Popina Commander and Led by Shepherds from Jeffrey Rakebe, which I think they take us through experiences that maybe we don't want to know about, that are difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember early on in the programming, Frankie read an advance of the smallest ones of Popina's book, and she said to Della and myself, the rest of the programming team, I've read this, don't read this, or don't read it yet. Read it when you're ready, when you're strong. And when I did read it, I was sort of messaging Frankie while I was reading it. And I was left, I think I used the word speechless at some point, and then was just struck by, I mean, this absolutely horrendous journey that Popina has been on. But it's also a story of not just survival, but a story of overcoming. There's a sense of celebration of this amazing, young, talented woman who is at the end of this, right? And the fact that she found those words to tell the story, I think, is remarkable.
And a gift, really, right? Because otherwise we just don't have an idea, and the words really paint quite a visceral picture of the experience. And it's an experience that's such a global conversation at the moment, especially, and something we've just got to pay attention to. I mean, our country, I don't think we realize what importance we have being at the coalface of something like migration, something like movement of human bodies, and then also human souls, human ideas, human imaginations, because this is everything that moves with you. It's not just the physical.
I think that also, you know, just in terms of how crucial a book like this is, it really kind of spotlights the vulnerability of women, their bodies, and conflict. And I think that increasingly we have to look at that. We can't just pretend or like look away. We have to pay attention. And this is a book that allows you to do that. You can take it in small doses. You can manage how you're consuming the book. I think spaces like Open Book, where a conversation like this happens, allows people to gather and get support for each other and to kind of understand how community can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And it's something I'm seeing a lot of in my work as a yoga instructor, where most of my students are female and most of them are grappling with big questions around how women move their bodies in space, particularly in Cape Town, particularly in South Africa, on things like public transport, for example. Mm-hmm. So to be able to gather some of them, who I'm sure will be in attendance, to something like this, where they can just talk about both the vulnerability and that kind of necessary resilience, and how do those two combine, I think will be really special.
100%. Do you want to have a little chat about Jeffrey's book?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've also had an interesting experience around initiation. And particularly this kind of, you know, as the book says, and I'll just read from the back, where it talks about awash with misogynistic language and gender-based violence. It's a conversation I'm having at the moment with students of mine who have been through initiation rituals.
That must be fraught.
It is, but there is also a lot of underlying, I think, attitudes of wanting to preserve elements of culture that people believe to be sacred, and then seeing this juxtaposed against issues, problematic issues. And how do we reconcile these things? You know, what is the value in holding on to our cultures so strongly? And it's particularly the male students that I work with, and I'm talking in a yoga sense, and then wanting to know, how else can I embody masculinity? How else can I embody the qualities that are
reimaginative work that needs to be done?
Yeah, I mean, we use the word decolonial embodiment a lot in the work that I do. And we, I don't think we know what it means. I think we just like the word decolonial.
You know kind of what you mean.
We do, because I think we what we've settled on recently actually is what you've just said. This idea of a reimagination. We're actually trying to create something completely new and different. And I think this book does that.
Absolutely.
And so to bring these three together, I think, is going to be
the
something really cool.
The conversation is going to be amazing, powerful, and I think it's going to be transformative for a lot of people in the room.
I hope so. I really hope so. I think you know, even with the one I did last year with patient 12A, I really felt a shift in terms of, we discussed men's mental health and the kind of issues around, you know, dependency on a female figure in one's life. And the room was alive. People had so much to say. It was a really, really interesting conversation. And I think this one and this kind of curation lends itself to so much subject matter, whether it's gendered bodies or whether it's just about using expressive forms to sort of evoke a sense of embodiment. And I think we're in for something really special.
I have no doubt about that, Fidoz. And one of the things, one of the joys of programming for us is that when we're, as we're kind of working on, you know, the curation of events, one of the very difficult things we're going to go, we do particularly with a discussion like this, is who are we going to ask to chair this conversation? Who can we ask to hold it? And the minute we put these three together, we looked at each other and we just went, Fidoz, she is going to hold this and do a beautiful job. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for trusting me to do it.
And that brings us to the end of what, to my mind, has been an utterly unique and appetite-whetting introduction into what we can expect from the Open Book Festival happening this very weekend in the Mother City. And I have to add here, too, a little punt. I'll be at the festival as well. I'm on three separate panels, together with a bunch of big-name writers, from Tom Eaton to Zibo Sotole, Alistair McKay, Lesedi Molefi, Conita Loxton, and so many more big-name authors, We are going to have a fab time. I've got a couple of panels. The one I'm looking forward to very much is called Why So Serious? And that's about balancing lighthearted writing with themes that resonate. I'm on another panel that's Writer Sports. That's going to be really fun. There are a bunch of us. Gee, I'm not looking forward to this one so much. It's really hard. Bunch of authors on stage. We're given prompts and we have to write things on the fly, right by the seat of our pants. So I'm a little bit nervous about that one. And the third one I'm on is called Unlikely Friendships. And I'm chatting to a couple of crime writers and we'll be grilled by Riley Herbert Henry about unlikely friendships in our fiction. So I think that should be kind of interesting too. Please do grab your tickets. They're not expensive. And come along. If you've never been to a literary festival before, you're in for a massive treat. You're really going to enjoy yourself. And if it's old hat to you and you've been to plenty literary festivals, then you cannot miss this one. It is the highlight on the literary calendar this year. Before we go, I want to thank Mzu Makeda for building our show like he does every month. He does such an amazing job, very patient with me. And I want to thank Frankie and Mervyn for taking the time out to bring us this special edition show with all their special guests. We are playing out with Vota Kellerman, who's playing I Told You So. And I can't wait to see you at Open Book Festival. If you're a show listener and you see me there, do come and say hi. I'd love to hear about what you're reading and what you're listening to. Until next time, happy reading. See you at the Open Book Festival.